Blog Talk Radio.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with me now? Why do you play with me?
What? Down, CBR bike, I'm switching gears, headlights, shot so bright, it's trees like this, them fiends want that boy, fed sending decoys, pack that boy, push you where you rest the G-boy, hit your mama's house, bodies off, when them bodies, I ain't getting locked up, my Bentley cruise the block with the sunroof top, hood rat, jumping on my jock, cause I blew up the spot, crushing your bins, crushing your navigator system, my QB, make y'all tuck it. It's Nas in your area. Missy about to tear it up. Braveheart, y'all scared of us. Real niggas, baby, up.
What's your name? Cause I'm impressed. Can you treat me?
What's going on, Big Rick?
Ain't nothing, friends. What's going on? What's up? What's up?
Hey. Hey, nice hair. What, yo? Today was the coolest day, but it still was warm. It was like 77 degrees, but it still felt like 80. So... a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, I think this is around the weather where you're like, okay, yeah, I can deal with this. You know, you can bear outside. It looks nice out. And this is the weather you want to be outside in.
Right, right, right. Right. It's good right now, but come July, August, my goodness. It's like, I need a break from this. But it is what it is. I put on the hot boys because it's the Final Four. We got our decisions now. We know who's going to be where. Mm-hmm. You know what? Eastern Conference Finals, number one seed, number two seed. Kind of predicted, but still didn't know. Still wasn't clear. Western Conference Finals, the one seed and the three seed.
Yeah.
So.
Also, too, though, is another thing that we didn't talk about. I mean, you know, we was on last Sunday, Monday, and, you know, we talked about it, but we were kind of cautious about, you know, Steph Curry and things like that. And, boy, he came. I mean, Frizz, he put on, one for the ages.
Yeah.
We're talking about a performance where he came in and dropped 40 off the bench.
Off the bench. Yeah,
17 in the overtime, like.
And no one's done that. And you know what, Rick? I don't even bother with people anymore. I don't know if it's because he's light skinned.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem is they have with Steph, but you know he's a problem. It was crazy because I even had some of these young kids that today we had church in the park. You know, every time it gets warm, we have church today in the park. We have kids chill. We have fun and everything. But some of the kids was really hating on him, talking about the Thunder don't, the Golden State don't have a chance against the Thunder. And I'm like,
What
basketball games are you looking at?
Yeah.
He says, well, Steph Curry's hurt. I said, if that's hurt, I still have my money on him.
Yo, I mean, this is going on 3 weeks, you know, since.
Right.
Since injury, you know, tomorrow, you know, they open up. But I mean, okay, he won the MVP, and for every year that someone wins the MVP, there's always this cry of, oh, he wasn't the most valuable player to such and such team or whatever the case is. And we know what MVP really is. What we got to really look at the MVP award is more so who's been the best player this season. That's what really the MVP award is.
Right.
So I hate when people try to break it down. We all know what that award means. And when, you know, when we look at a value.
You know what it is? Mm-hmm. You know what it is? It's not MVP of the league. It was like, who was the saving for the NBA or the NFL or whatever that season? And it was Steph Curry this season.
Yes, who was the most valuable commodity? Who was the most valuable commodity of, you know, whatever? You know,
right.
You know, companies have employee in the month. Is that who's that best part? Who was the person that performed the best? And that's who they was. And that's really, you know, that's who he was. And you know, like, I just hate this. You know, you got LeBron speaking this and that. But LeBron, you won the MVP on a team that won 66 games when you had Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen, a bunch of others.
Right.
So did we sit there? Did we sit there and ridicule that MVP? Did you say anything about that? Did you stand up and, you know, say, oh, this and that, oh, this and that guy? Because you're not telling me that Heat team would not have won some, they would have won 50-something games?
Easy.
You know, without you?
Look at what they did with a hurt Chris Bosh this year.
You know, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you're talking about Wade and Bosh even younger. And you know, and stuff, so I can't hate when people just, oh, they you know, they hate. But friends, you said it correctly. I think it's because, you know, he's light-skinned, and they just can't, you know, they can't stand it because.
You know how, you can't even hate him. People don't hate him. That's the problem. He's not a villain. His wife is pretty. They get along. You know, he has Christian wristbands.
He's a family man.
Right.
I mean, friends. When I look at Steph Curry, and I see, you know, him, and I just think that, friends, it's just the more so what they explain to it is what people can't accept with Curry. It's more so is like, how is he this good? How is he this type of player? What can you explain to him, Frizz? Because honestly, Frizz, walking down the street, Frizz, me, you, and him can walk down the street, and I don't think that they can really. I mean, he may be a little bit taller than us, but I don't think they can really like, okay, yo, he's in the NBA.
Right. Right.
You know,
or if they look at him and say, he's in the NBA, but he's probably just an average player.
They don't look at him.
He's got that little boily smile. And I mean, the first time I really seen him get hyped was that game.
Yeah.
The overtime. When he's like, I'm back.
Yes. And there's one thing that, like, you know, and this is what I don't, this is what I, like, you know, I hate, you know, because you have, and like I said, this has sparked debates amongst the, you know, the LeBron James people and all that is, oh, what does he do that's so much better and this and that. And a lot of people are like, you know, and friends, I know that you mentioned a lot of times Jermaine Colin Cowherd. He said something about MVP. And once he lost, the way that he lost me in the argument, friends, is he mentioned the Miami. And like, I don't know if you heard what I said, but you know, they, you know, you have him bringing up Cleveland. It's like Cleveland was 5 years ago, friends. You know, him bringing up, you know, him leaving Cleveland 5 years ago, saying how much the franchise looked differently. And it's like how valuable he is. I'm like, you can't prove LeBron's value in 2016 with something he did in 2011. We're talking about right now. And then also, too, those, they, you know, they, And this is the word that gets thrown around a lot, friends, is all around. LeBron James, Steph Curry is not a better all around player than LeBron. I don't even know what that word means.
I don't
know what that word means because, and like I said, I mean, if anybody's out there that can explain to me what that means, is in a context or whatever, because, and then I will counter you and ask you, so do you mean that Cam Newton is a better all-around quarterback than Tom Brady? I mean, it's fair.
You don't even have – you have these people that I've been talking about for years. Like, oh, I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm a Kobe fan. I'm not a Cleveland fan. I'm a LeBron fan. You already told me you're biased. So you're never going to be happy unless he's won.
Yeah.
Never. So I don't even listen to him. And LeBron, we said this when the season started. When it shifted to Steph Curry, he's been in his feelings the whole season. It's not about me. You're not talking about me. Me.
Yeah.
Come
mm-hmm.
on, man. That's the way he's been the whole season. That he couldn't just sit back and say, you know what? These dudes broke Jordan's record, my idol.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No.
Broke Jordan's record, my idol.
He wasn't the guy. He wasn't the guy. Basically, what happened, Chris, is that this Warriors team is doing things that he thought he was going to be able to do when he was with Miami. That's what happened, friends. They're doing things that he thought he was going to do with the Warriors.
Exactly.
You know, with the Heat.
He's doing things. They did things he should have did with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. You were supposed to lose 10 games. You were supposed to win 72 games, 73, 74 games.
Yeah.
With that man, with that little retreat team y'all got.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all didn't do that. They did that. You stop playing. Come on. Give it a break.
And like I said, y'all can go ahead and you can look back to, you know, what we speak about it before, but it seems though it's just, you know, and Frizz made a reference to his kids. You know, it's that, you know, kid that feel like he ain't getting enough, you know, attention, so he going to go knock something over so you can talk to him or whatever case is. And that's the same thing that LeBron's been doing all season. Is, oh, let me put this different kind of tweet on Twitter so you guys can decipher what I said.
Right. Let me play games on social media so y'all can see if I'm really happy with my team or not. You know?
Yeah. And that's just been it all season. And we're going to, like, you know, let's see if they advance, you know, whatnot. But, and I mean, and also, too, though, for example, I know that we talked about it in advance. There's a lot of people that's going around saying, it's like they're speaking, though, as if this team, you know, LeBron and them would have lost to a Detroit or Atlanta team without him. Like, come on, man. This is the Eastern Conference. And, you know, Kevin Love and the rest of his supporting class, people act like this is – they act like this is that 2007 Cavaliers team that LeBron basically willed. You know, this he don't have no slouches on his team. He doesn't have a Daniel Gibson and a slow Ilgauskas out there.
Yeah, right. That's why I don't know what these people are talking about. Oh, Cleveland's rolling. It's no offense, but I mean, it's different because I don't know if I'm the right person, or I could be wrong, or maybe this person is different. They saw more games than I did, but I didn't see that Cleveland's going to have a hard time against Detroit. I didn't see Cleveland's going to have a hard time against Atlanta. We said this. So who are they rolling against?
Mm-hmm.
We've been saying this for the longest. And, I mean, the Eastern Conference, they was begging for Toronto to be better to give Cleveland a run. And
yeah.
Everybody was. So who was supposed to put up this big fight against them in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, Frizz, exactly.
Everybody knew that their fight and their championship was going to have to come, or their biggest test was coming in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. But it was
definitely.
Yeah, you know, speaking of the Western Conference, there was definitely a shocker out there in the West. I don't know how much of a shocker it was.
Right.
But,
and, you know, I was just about to say, is it a shocker? Is it an upset? I mean, come on, they were a 3 seed. Last year, Kevin Durant was hurt. And he said, look, I'm going to come back next year, and we're going to make a strong run at it.
Mm-hmm. No, it definitely. I mean, honestly, because I mean, yeah, just like you said, I don't know how much of a
realistically, how much of a shocker it was, but
I mean, that's why I think that you know we can't judge a team, you know, after one game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've seen that one game that you know this team had, and look what happened. You know, look what happened to OKC. They gathered themselves, and I give them credit.
Right.
And they went into San Antonio, and I think the Spurs only lost one game, Prince.
The whole season.
And
they lost
like,
two against them.
Wow.
And it's just like, wow, because and I can't explain it. I don't know what's wrong with them, but I don't know what's up with a team like San Antonio.
Well,
because, wow, you know, you would thought that, okay, and we talked about it before.
But again, San Antonio's talented enough to win those games like we talked about before, so back-to-back. You know, that people coming off of back-to-back and things like that. They're talented to win those games. I think this was a matchup nightmare for Popovich.
Mm-hmm.
We got two athletic players, and we've always said, oh, wow, if these two just start playing together.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They started clicking together. They started playing together. Westbrook kind of said, okay, I'm going to ride you out in this. Because let's be honest, it was the same thing that happened with the Lakers against the Spurs that Shaq kind of had to do. Kobe scored way more points, averaged way more points against San Antonio than anything. Tim Duncan used to own 60. The matchup,
mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, not saying that Shaq didn't have good games, but Tim Duncan used to murder Shaq. Statistically, everything. But Kobe had outstanding games. Kobe broke down the defense, kicked it out. And that was the determining factor. So, to me, the same thing that happens, you know, it's a game of matchups. They just don't match up well against the athletic team up and down, you know, that impose their will on the other team. And,
yeah.
and that's what they did. Thunder imposed their will.
There was nothing that
the Spurs could do about it.
There was nothing that you can sit there and, you know, you could tell me that, okay, the Spurs, this is what the Spurs are going to do.
They had no answer for anything. That last game, it seemed though, it was just like a mail-in. I was just kind of shocked. You know, when I seen the score, I'm like, these boys is up by almost, you know, 20, 30 points.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of shocked by even today.
I'm like, what, you know, what happened?
Dude, they, you know what, it was almost like, you remember that show, The Last Dragon?
Yeah.
And when Bruce Leroy knew he had the glow?
Yeah.
Knew he could beat Shona? That's kind of what the Thunder had with the Spurs. They knew
mm-hmm.
they could beat him that last game. So it was like, we had the glow. And they just came in and started doing what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I guess, yeah, because you
definitely, you know, you said it right. This team, the Spurs, they kind of looked older, and they need another, you know, layer. They need another layer. And now, you know, it's funny how much fun we have made over the, a team like the Atlanta Hawks, the Spurs look like that that regular season, you know, team. And maybe this is definitely a, you know, a wake up call, but if this was a Tim Duncan's last game, it was
yeah.
definitely a great era. You know, he's definitely had a, you know, we're saying goodbye to a legendary player.
By all means. I mean, if not the best, one of the best power forwards ever to play the game. Tim Duncan. So, I mean, definitely looking at a high count. I said, if not the best,
or one of the best power forwards to ever play the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely looking at an icon. I mean, he didn't have a bad regular season. He just had a bad playoff. And I don't know what that means, but
it just seems though it's like it may be time for him to, you know, pack it up. That's all it seems though. For it may be that, you know, it may be about that time to, you know, for him to say, you know what, you know, it's time to move on, unless they get, you know, a move. You know, I heard they was after somebody like Mike Conley or whoever, but that's what it's going to, you know, take, you know, to get, you know, to bring him back, because I don't see what can for his – I mean, I look at Timmy and I'm just like, wow, he doesn't look the same. Or that team just didn't have something. They missed something against, you know, the Thunder. And maybe it's just the Thunder just finally reached that, you know, what you said for his – that – you know, that ceiling that we've been waiting for him to crack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Thunder, we've been waiting. Or when are they going to finally, you know, look at him and say, yo, we have two of the best five players in the league.
Right. Right.
We need to play like that.
You need to play like that, right. And they did. The last two games was monstrous. Durant had like 35 points. He had 27 points. That's how it needs to go. Forget at this point whose team this is. And I think some of the media played that out to where you're forcing them to make a decision that don't need to be made a decision on. For years, you have some of the best players that played against each other, Kareem and Magic. They never had these conversations. Who teams did? Who's my team? That don't make no sense. So don't let the media try to dictate what you say, oh, this is my team versus your team. That doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they try to cause controversy more than anything.
No, exactly. You know, I think that they finally, you know, they're clicking. And I think that both theories, but yeah, I you know, as much as we would have wanted to see, you know, maybe LeBron go off against Wade, I mean, that this Toronto and Frizz, I mean, come to think about Toronto, is look how close they were losing. You know, they were about to lose to a team in Indiana.
Right.
And you see where they're at now. It's a total, you know, it's a total opposite. And now a team that we didn't have faith in finishing the playoff series, now we can see, can they give Cleveland that run?
No.
Can they force a game seven?
No. Do you need me to say it again? No. Not at all, dude. It's not... They can't do it.
So you just think that they're finished?
Absolutely. They can't push Cleveland. I don't even know if they're still. I don't even think they won one game.
Oh, come on, Brady. You think it's gonna be a sweep?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, bro. I mean, I give Toronto more credit than that. I think that they can give them a fight. I don't know. I think, you know, I think that they can win. I think they can win a couple. I think, I mean, you know, what I'll say is they're going to win a couple. So I think I'll give you Cleveland in six. That's what I give you. I'll give you Cleveland in six. I think they can win. They can sneak out a couple against them. But I don't think that is going to be this cakewalk that it has been over the Hawks and, you know, whatever. And I just want to, as far as
why not?
As me being a fan, of just I just think that Toronto is a lot. I mean, they're the second best team in the East. I think they're a lot better than those teams that are Atlanta and Detroit. But also, just a fan of basketball, it's just like, come on, could somebody show some gut, some effort, and just if somebody come to play, and will these teams win? I mean, granted, they did play in, you know, the regular season, but you know, as we said before, it's different. It ain't the regular season anymore. It's the playoffs. Playoff basketball is a lot much different. I think that this team can come, and I think they can rise to the occasion. So, I don't know. I think that, you know, I have some faith in the Cleveland team.
We'll just have to see. I don't know. I don't see them. The way they're shooting is going to be. Now, this put Whiteside back in that game. I'm not sure that we're talking the same team advancing.
But also, too, for you got to understand it was kind of equal on both sides because Valanciunas was hurt as well.
Yeah, but that wasn't a wash. He definitely wasn't as important to that team as Whiteside was to eat, especially in the first box. I'm saying prior to him leaving, Lowry was not getting to the hole up there.
Yeah, but. I mean, I'm not sure, like, you know, like, you know, just, I mean, I just can't discount, I don't know, I just can't discount Toronto as right now and just say, okay, yo, Toronto, y'all about to get done like everybody else. I don't know. I don't look at them like how I look at the Hawks last year. I think that they can give them, you know, a battle. I think that they can give them a battle.
You have Cleveland, who has Tristan Thompson. You have Amon Shumpert, who when Dwayne Wade wants to get into them, he'll be on their heels like that. Then you got Kyrie Irving and LeBron.
No, I understand that, Frizz. I'm not saying that they're gonna win. That's not my battle. That's not my argument. I think Cleveland will win, but I just don't think that it's gonna be just open to shut. I think that Toronto, they have, you know, two all-star caliber type of players, and they have a nice supporting class. And I think that they can, you know, fight. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, snuck a couple games away.
Yeah,
and gave Cleveland, you know, something to play for. And honestly, if I'm the Cavs, that's what I really would want. Truthfully, Chris, if I'm the Cavs, that's what I want. I want Toronto. Chris, I want Toronto to give me a battle. Because just knowing anything as far as in sports, that easy road is all good until you reach that final, Chris. The easy road is all good, and you reach that final, and then it starts slapping you in the face.
Oh yeah, then reality wakes up, as you would say, and people snap into reality. Oh, okay, this is basketball now.
And you're like, you know what the hell, you know what the hell is going on? Oh, bleep.
Right.
I didn't know that this team was like this.
Or I didn't know we got to play at this level like this. Because, come on, they turned this off and on. There was a couple of games, even against Atlanta, they should have lost. So I agree with you. It can be an easy 4. It can easily be a 4-2.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not even going by this playoff. I just think that they can sneak out, you know, a couple wins here and there, whatever the case is. But the Western Conference, I think this is must-see TV. This is two teams that's going battle. And, you know, everybody remember the, you know, Steph Curry shot he had. What was that game? What was it? in February, and he hit from like right in front of half court.
Right. I never forget that game.
And that was one of the shots where we're just like, wow. And,
right.
I don't know what other people are going to say, but as a competitor, what do you say to that? Because he.
You know what? I think it's going to be a good series. I think Golden State's going to win in six.
Mm-hmm.
Only because they're bench. This is what, Adams and them were able to have a great game against the Spurs because they depend so heavily on LaMarcus Aldridge, Tim Duncan, so they can play their big man. If Golden State goes small and Draymond Green is the center, you're going to talk about Adams having to come out to the three-point line and guard him? You're making him irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to dribble right by him. So that's the lineup problem that they're going to have. But
they can't play. They can't play Adams and Kanter at the same time.
Right. Like they were able to play them in this past series.
Yeah, they can't play them at the same time because it's not like one of the players are you look at Kanter or Adams and you can say, okay, you got Green on you, let's throw it down to him and he's gonna demolish Green. I don't think that he has that offensive repertoire that calls for something like that.
Right.
So that's definitely something that we look at as far as in Adams, a player like Steven Adams and Kanter, and just like you said, for that, it's a matchup. It's a matchup problem. And you look at, you look at their back, you look at their, I think the Steph Curry injury was a blessing in disguise because now it gave the bench more confidence because there was more and more players had to step up
and
get those quality minutes.
You know what it was? It was like, if this is an injury, let it be the worst injury where he doesn't come back. Because for exactly what you said, I don't want it to be an injury and it forces other people to step up and realize that, their role is important. And even when he's on the bench, we can rest. He can rest, rest, and we do. That's what you didn't want to happen. And I think that's more what happened. I mean, you got somebody like Livingston who's playing more with an attitude than he was before.
Yeah, I feel like defense, I mean, that team, their defense, and this their bench is what I think. I just think that they have, better role players.
Right.
The supporting cast, Curry supporting cast. He has a player. Him and Clay can go mono
with
a Durant and a Westbrook, and then you throw in Draymond Green. Who has effect. He can have that triple double, but friends, we're talking about that charge. You talking about that loose ball that he dove and got, or just that stellar defense that he played down low, or that timely steal that he got. There's a lot of things that go on that don't go on the stat sheet that Draymond Green does, and we talked about it last year. Like, he's the engine of that team.
Right.
He's that perfect glue guy for that team. And then also you have Iguodala. And then also you see Clay, you see Draymond Green, you see Curry. You forget that they got Iguodala coming off the bench, and also you forget that they have Harrison Barnes.
Yes, and any one of those guys, Harrison Barnes, gives you a quiet like 15 points, like consistently. So you got Draymond Green that's dropping almost like a triple double. You got Curry and Klay Thompson. 24, 35, 25-35 switching off either way. So, and then you got Iguodala giving you 11, 15 points plus playing defense. To me, it's always been like that. It's always been those role players. It's never been, to me, been superstars.
Mm-hmm.
I can go back to the day that the Lakers had Karl Malone came over to the team, and on paper they looked so great, but they got scraped by the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was that team ball that did it. It was that we're going to play together, we're going to move the ball, we're going to shoot, we're going to score, we're going to play some good defense, and everybody played a role. That's what wins games.
There you go.
They have the nucleus for it. I mean, the Thunder, they're about a couple of players away from being able to dominate like this team is dominating. And who knows all what happens. It's all about what, like Pop did. Oh, yeah, okay, we made more shots than they did. Because at the end of the day, that's what happened. So we can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not. But if they play the ball game over and over and over again, the favor is just with Golden State.
So what's your prediction, Frank? You said six. And I mean, I can agree on that. I think it'd be Golden State in six. I can definitely agree on that.
Yeah, that's just the way I'm going with it. Golden State in six. Think it's definitely going to be a good game, but I just think the rotation that Golden State have, it just kills you. You know, this second team can come in, and next thing you know, it used to be a 3-point lead, you know, or you had a 17-point lead. The second team comes in, you bring your second team in, you be like, okay, we can rest our players. Next thing you know, your 17-point lead is down to 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Because your second team, like you said, with Iguodala, Barnes, even Speed, most
mm-hmm.
Speed. He had knocked down four 3-pointers in a row. And before you blink, your second team, before you can even call a timeout and get this other team in there, your lead is gone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I exactly know what you're saying. And friends, they're no slouches. You know, the bench is no slouches. So yeah, I think we definitely have an agreement on that. And we can definitely see, you know, this team winning, you know, in six games, and I think we'll have a rematch. Also, Frizz, we have the draft lottery is on Tuesday. As I put up quotation marks, is because, you know, there are people out there that feel, though, is that the lottery is kind of rigged.
As people know that it's different from,
you know, other sports. Well, I think the hockey does it well, but the lottery, you can't really tank it. You can tank it, but that doesn't assure you the number one overall pick. It's a lottery system. And, you know, there's been years, you've seen it before, Frizz. LeBron comes out, he's from Akron, and where he goes, Cleveland gets the number one pick. The year that he's at, you know, he's there, and the Hornets are for sale, and all of a sudden they get the number one pick, and it's a player like Anthony Davis.
Right, right.
So, you know, we'll definitely see, you know, where, you know, we'll definitely see where it goes this year. For both of our teams, you know, have a chance at a top. One of the top two picks. You have
the Celtics with third, you know, best chances in the, a courtesy of the the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers. You know, they have the second worst, you know, they have the second best ops, you know, position as far as in the lottery. But the only
courtesy,
the Lakers.
Courtesy is just some bad play. So, you know, you got to get a process too.
But also, though, there's one thing, though,
you know, about LA though is if they end up with the fourth worst record, I mean, they end up with the fourth pick, that pick goes to Philly in a deal that what people don't realize is when they trade it for Steve Nash.
Right.
So this could be worst case scenario. That's worst case scenario, is that the pick falls 4 or 5, because then you don't have a pick, period. So, you know, the Lakers better hope and play. But even though, you know, you look at these draft picks, and you don't really expect
none of these players to come in prison, change your franchise. I don't know if any of these players in this draft will. You know, they will, but I look at it more so as bargaining chips. If you can go ahead and look at a team like, you know, Indiana or Chicago and say, hey, how much do y'all want, you know, what will it take to get, you know, what's up with Paul George? What's up with Jimmy Butler?
That's where the Celtics are at. That's where Danny Ainge is at. He's willing to trade that pick because who he has right now, he's just missing a superstar, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would keep this team if I was Danny Ainge, especially from what they did, and say add a Paul George, add a Cousin, add a Westbrook.
Yeah. No, and also too though, it's not even just adding. It's not even just like, you know, if you could sit there, you can have this pick, and you could say, you know what, yo, you know, such and such player, in free agency, come here, we have the money, come to Boston, and now look at what else we got. You know, and that's another addition that you can, you know, you can add. And you can show to, you know, a potential free agent to come, you know, there. And also too, those I mean, I'm not too sure that, you know, the Lakers want to continue this ride either. I don't think that they want to sit here, and I know that the franchise doesn't want. I don't think that the franchise first wants to keep looking at young players either. I think that if they can get a Jimmy Butler or you know, a Paul George, I think that they'll pull that trigger in a heartbeat. Because Lakers fans don't want to deal with this. This is not – they don't want to go through a Philadelphia situation.
But see, the whole thing with the Lakers, even demote him, this is what I'm saying. You would attract more people – if you look like you're changing from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone clearly knows that this team is a bonfire ever since Brother's taken over. I'm going to just call him Brother from now on. So when I say Brother's taking over, you know what I'm talking.
Yeah.
And no offense against Phil, but same thing with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Knicks are rebuilding, so when they think that they're going to come in and do something, they're a long way.
So definitely, I mean, I and Frizz, and I understand what you're saying. When you look at a team like the Lakers, and they have to, you have to, you know, question the long run, the longevity of that team. You look at, you have you know, the younger bust in there.
Just do a mock interview. Like, okay, you know, you go to an interview, you went through your 4 years in college, you went through 4 years of grad school, you got your PhD, you come highly recommended, you know, not a draft, but an interview as a free agent. Try to get a big name, like when they was trying to get LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, before, you know, LaMarcus is coming in there like, what do you have to offer me? Oh, the name, the light, L.A. He's like, we got social media, dude. You can get that in Maine. You can get everything. You can get everything that LA and New York used to attract people with before. You can get that anywhere now. Deals. We'll fly you out, do this commercial, and fly you back.
Frizz, there you go. Exactly, Frizz. You hit it right there. I think that we have to. I think that all the you know, those myths and everything that we said before, as far as in free agents, when we mentioned L.A. and New York and all these other nice destinations, is, I mean, when you look at it first, I think you got to say pre-social media or pre, like, internet and all this, because there's other ways to expose yourself, because you don't have to play in these kind of markets. So it's like, what else do you have to offer? I got that already covered. What else can you offer me? And it's not like we're saying you got to live here either, because when it becomes, you can go ahead and go buy you a house in L.A.
Right. I have $100 million. I can buy a house in LA.
And for you probably know it, a lot of athletes live down there.
You know how
they don't even play there.
You know how many athletes live in Atlanta? Or have a house in Atlanta?
It's interesting.
So, you know, that's what I'm talking about by the marketing. And let's just go with something real quick here. NBA is not NBA. In a whole, teams are thirsty for a Jerry West-like eye.
Mm-hmm.
Put the teams together. You need this player, and that player. Trust me. Shut up. Trust me. Put these people together. They will solve all you need to solve. Then put them around a good leader, coach. It's a slam dunk. Because, you know, I have one guy I work with. You know, brothers in this feeling still about Mark Jackson. I was like, one, Mark didn't put that team together. Jay West put that team
together. Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Lakers. Jay West put that team together. Now, let's go into another sport real quick, and we'll talk about something we're very passionate about, Neil Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
He put that team together. Then what he went out to Chicago and what he's doing out there.
Frizz, I mean, yes. And you can't.
That's what you need. I didn't mean to cut you off, and I know you're going to take over from here, but this is tally up my point, because I know you're going to piggyback off of it. That's what you need. That's what LA needs. That's what they thought Phil Jackson was going to do. But then again, you got to understand, it takes time. They all booed him when he picked Porzingis, and he was. It was close to the running for rookie of the year.
Yeah, he kind of, you know, he kind of shocked. But it's still a process, I think, with Phil too. I wouldn't say, oh, you want Phil Jackson, because it's still a process. We have to see this Knicks team, because I think it's a band of misfits still, even together. They don't have that you know player, and they don't even have a head coach.
Right.
You know, right,
right
now.
And
they don't even have a, you know, head coach. And I think, you know, off the Kudo is that they.
And even when they hired Derek Fisher, I don't think that was his first choice. I think he really wanted Steve Kerr.
He did. And Steve Kerr said, you guys or, you know, and that's the thing that we were talking about, for it is not even, you know, maybe 10 years or something like that ago, we would have said, oh, He's going there. Because who wants to be in Golden State?
Right.
But now.
Now?
You know.
What? Now you have all these Golden State fans come out the woodwork.
Yeah.
There's been a Golden State fan, quote unquote, forever. But, I mean, that's what you have to take. And come on, Golden State, we are looking at Golden State now over the last couple of years. The growing pains they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was not his fourth year in the league. So they went through those growing pains of this is what
definitely
build a team. So, you know, when we get all these pieces together, trust me, now we can look like a run. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Going to run. So, you know, that's where it needs to start. Who's making – even Mitch Kupchak. Everybody needs to be looked at. Who are you picking? What team are you building? And are you just building for now or for the future? Because let's be clear, you can go on a long run with some good players in the NBA. NFL is totally different. You better go after that. You better go after that Super Bowl now in the NFL, because your star player can tear his leg up next season, and he's done.
Yeah, yo, that's exactly. You know, you brought up baseball, and obviously, since you know you have, you know, so I don't know if you noticed, all Red Sox are hot. I think that you know they're in first place. And after a couple seasons of a team that you kind of didn't really, you know, especially last year, it wasn't a team that you liked. They had a lot of players on their team that, well, not even, like, it seemed like they had bad attitudes. And I think it started from, you know, training camp when, I think, Pablo Sandoval came in. He came in spring training. He came in overweight. There was, pictures of him. And the manager didn't give him his starting position. He didn't care if he was making $100 million. He was like, no, you're not starting.
Right.
And I think that sent a message to everyone else. Like, I don't care. I don't care how much you make or whatever case is. You're going to have to earn your keep here. And now this team is – their offense – I think they're missing – you know, number two, number three, you know, type of pitcher that could definitely put them over the top because their offense is definitely unbelievable.
Oh, my God. They're on pace to score a crazy amount of points.
Mm-hmm.
Their bats are swinging. If they had some knockdown pitchers, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, and you know, I just looked at, you know, yes, you know, you look at, you know, Big Poppy's numbers, David Ortiz's numbers, and yesterday he hits the game-tying run in the ninth inning, and then he comes up, I want to say the 11th or 10th.
The 11th,
and he hits the game winner. And it's just like, and, you know, there's a lot of people like, please don't retire, and me, I would say, you know what, as selfish as I want to be in that, as much as I joy, love, and hate him, because if you look at him and you see clutch, if you want to look up clutch, he's definitely clutch in the dictionary. And
you
people say, oh, don't.
Smiling. Smiling. I mean, for what they're doing right now, and I know, you know me, I'm always like, look, it's 30 games and they have another 130 games.
Yeah.
But. If this is any indication of how they're going to play, and let's just be serious, coming into June, you could start to say this is their identity.
Yeah, no, definitely. You definitely, Frizz. This is this team, and you look at them, and you know this was an Astros team last year. They beat them 3 out of 4 games. This was an Astros team last year that went to the playoffs. So
right.
You definitely can look at this team and say, okay. They have an identity. They are a great team. They keep continuing to play this way. They definitely can, you know, push over the top. And this is definitely around the time where you gotta, you know, continue and ascend your play, because if you play poorly, you could be forgot about during the summer. It'd be like, okay, let's get ready for football season. forget about them. And that's what happened. But also to my point, you know, what I was gonna say about Ortiz, you know, a lot of people, you know, selfishly. Don't want him to retire now.
I don't.
The only thing that I may say, like, my only counter, you know, with people, you know, not wishing he would retire is I don't want him to leave the game when the game tells him it's time to go.
Right, right. Leave on top. You know, leave when you people still be like, wow, what if David Ortiz would have played one more year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave that one. Because, like, with Kobe and us, it's like, you know, he played one too many years.
No, exactly, Frizz. Exactly.
And, looking, at,
looking at that, just to piggyback on what you said, I watched the other day, and I wasn't able to watch the game, but, you know, every score, every whatever comes to my phone. And at one time I looked at it, and they were trailing like 5-1. Last year I was like, oh, they're done. This year, two innings later, I look at my phone, you know, Red Sox lead 6-5.
Yeah.
You know, you got teams like now I'm like, yo, we got to be up 10 runs against the team.
Yeah, no, exactly.
This reminded me of the old Yankees with Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter and all those teams. Like, no lead is comfortable.
None whatsoever. There's no lead that you can sit there and you can say, and you can, you know, stamp your foot in the ground and say, yes, we're on top. We got them. We're going to win this, you know, X amount of game. We're going to win this game. There's no lead that you can, you know, really say that about, you know, with this team. But also, Frizz's, and that's why I had mentioned earlier, as far as in the team that you want to love to root for, is because of this. They still have that fight.
Right.
Earlier,
right.
They may have curved. They may have, like, you know, folded last year. And said, you know what? We'll play tomorrow.
You know what the thing about something, too, is? You've now seen David Ortiz willingness to win rub off on old, younger
yeah.
and people that come yeah. into this organization. Same thing that goes on with Golden State. You know, it's not just Clay. It's not just Curry. It's Draymond
mm-hmm.
Green. So you don't have – you got like 4 or 5 players that's like got this hunger in them to where like, yo, we're going to win this game. We're the best. And – you know, and it feeds off to the other players. Like, I wasn't upset when he got that technical foul, Livingston. It's because, yo, I was fouled. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I come off the bench because I choose to play with these guys. I could start on any other team.
Yeah. Exactly. No, and that's what it is. Like, it's infectious. And that's what you stole the words, and that's what I was gonna mention. That's what I mentioned as far as in last year is because there was a lot of attitudes that could be infectious on, especially on the younger guys. When you have a Bogaerts, you have a Betts, and you don't have that, you know, that rah rahness, and you know other kind of players. You know, when players are hurt, when one of your core players are hurt, and then you got guys on the team that are making a lot of money, and they're not just, you know, Frizz, they're in the clubhouse liking pictures on Instagram instead of worrying about why your team is down by, you know, 6 points.
What do you mean,
sir?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we definitely going to come back on Wednesday. We got two games in this, you know, playoffs to talk about. And these conference finals, we'll see. You know, we'll definitely, you know, dive in those games and, you know, see what's more to come. So thank y'all for tuning in. We'll definitely talk to y'all, you know, later on this week.
Definitely on Wednesday. Yeah, we're rounding this out. First game in the Western Conference Finals is tomorrow. Also, before we go on, we record a little while afterwards. They got this ultimate slam dunk contest going on tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Did you see this?
Slam. Where at?
It's gonna be. I think at halftime of the Western Conference Finals.
Is it like just random people?
Random people doing crazy stuff.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Like Rucker Park type dunks and everything like that. Flips, jumping over cars, doing crazy stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if you look at sometimes over YouTube videos and things
right.
like that, you right. kind of see those kind of, you know, they look, see, this is what I'd be seeing dunks, and I'm like, okay, this is the kind of dunk that I want to see in a dunk contest rather
exactly.
than this.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
so,
no, definitely.
This is the Real Sports Show. And signing off again, great show, Rick. D.O., thanks for listening in. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
See y'all on Wednesday.
I did some charity today for the kids, but it wasn't charity. I saw it with clarity, the severity of the matter is I'm in a game of your sports analyst, blowing smoke up your tails and calling it cannabis. Wanna talk about a ghostwriter? When a ghost write up, I'ma have all heads flaming like ghostwriter. I talk about the money cause I made it. Can't play with me, my character locked, I'm shaded. When you're invisible, it's kinda difficult to hit my radar. You should call me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.